Absalom said to the king, please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I was in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he rose and he went to Hebron, but he was going there for a reason, wasn't he? Why did he go to Hebron or Hebron? Why did he do that? And that's where he was going to go build his, that he was going to start there. That's what he was going to do. Verse 10, then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men, invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything what was happening. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, that was David's counselor, and the conspiracy steady grew, for the people with Absalom continued to increase in number. And boy, it just continued on and continued on there. See, through affection and affirmation of their felt needs, he lured the people to sleep in delusion and deception. That's how he won them over. You've heard me teach on some of these things before. The word gets to David of what's about to happen. What does David do? David recognized that this young son of his, this man, and when I say young, he's a grown man, he realizes that Absalom is entirely bent on taking over this kingdom. And that means if anybody resists him, that would mean the death of everybody. He's going to fight to the death for this. He's committed. And he's got the nation behind him as a whole. So he's going to fight. And David in his wisdom, decides to retreat. Come out of the city. Because he knew that Absalom didn't have wisdom. Absalom didn't have understanding. Absalom had no compassion. And Absalom would not only destroy the people, but he would also destroy the city in his revolt. So what David said, let's leave. Let's get out of here. And that's what David does. He gets out. And he retreated. He retreated into the mountains. And remember, his chief counselor told him they need to go after him. But David had already prayed that God would overthrow the counsel of Ahithophel. And he used another counsel that was actually on David's side to trick Absalom. And God did this as a blessing to the kingdom and to David, so that Absalom would listen to the wrong counsel and think it's the right counsel. And as a result, David then would be able to get out of there in a timely manner without any bloodshed, without any trouble. But one of the neatest pictures that we see in all this is that the priest came out. Look in chapter number 15 where we were at. Look in about verse number 24. It says, and there was Zadok also, and also the Levites with him. And what were they doing? They were bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God, because they were going to bring it out with them when they left. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over the river. And then the king said to Zadok, what did he tell him to do? Carry the Ark of God back into the city. And notice this conditional phrase. David is saying, if I find favor in the eyes of God, which he believed he did, he said, bring the ark back. God's going to bring me back to the city and I'm going to see the ark again. So David, when he retreated, he wasn't retreating in defeat, because he knew his son didn't have the wisdom on how to handle this situation. So the best thing he would do is to get out of there. And that's what we see. David, in some great wisdom in God's leadership, he retreated. A great psalm to put in there, beside all that, is Psalm 3. David wrote Psalm 3 during this time frame. He wrote Psalm 3 during the time frame. Let's go read Psalm 3. While all this was going on with Absalom and what he was doing and gaining favor with the people, and the conspiracy was steady growing, and it looked like a sure defeat for David. The entire nation looked like they were behind Absalom and they were going to bring David down. It's amazing. It don't take a nation long to turn on a group of people or a person that they love dearly, a person that they would elevate and exalt and die and fight for. It won't take them long to go from being a hero to zero. Amen. Just like coaches. Y'all ever notice how quick a coach can go from a hero to what?
Zero.
I tell you what, at Mississippi State coach, he was a hero, boy, when they beat LSU that first game. But man, they done lost three in a row, and boy, they'll go from a hero to what?
Zero.
Boy, quarterback, you get out there, man, he looks, whoo, he's flawless. He is the hero. You let him go out the next Saturday, let him throw an interception or two and fumble the ball and they lose the game. Boy, he's a what? A zero. You let that place kicker. Man, he kicked that 55-yard field goal, won the game with no seconds left. He is the hero. But you let him bounce one off the goalpost next week at the end of the game and he's a what? Woo. Oh, preachers can go from heroes to zeros, or zeros to heroes. Daddies can quickly go from a hero to a zero when he says, no, you can't go. When mama says, no, we can't get that. Boy, they go from way up here to way down there, just like that. Well, that's how they treated David. And verse 1 of Psalm 3, let's just read this. One of the greatest psalms. It's brief, it's short, but what a powerful message. And this was written specifically around this time with Absalom. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Listen to this. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and I slept. I awoke for the Lord. He sustained me. And I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to who? Your blessing is upon your people, Selah. Now this is the direct result of a relationship with a God that he trusted during a time when a son gained the favor of a nation and rose up against the king. And David said, though I'm surrounded by thousands and thousands and myriads of people who rose up against me, you are my shield and the one who lifts my head. I can lay down and sleep with sweet peace because I know you, the one who sustains my life. And though the enemy, though there's 1,000 lions around me, God, you broke the cheekbone and you crushed their teeth. And I want to tell you, folks, a lion can't bite you with a broke jaw and no teeth. Amen. He can't crush your head. That's what a lion wants to do. You know, when a lion puts that paw on you and he puts that mouth on you, whether it be a cougar. Oh, Greg, you came in close contact with a cougar, didn't you?
Amen.
Old panther, was he close to you?
Amen.
Make you nervous?
Amen.
What's that thing going to do if he got on you? What's he going for? He's going for your head up, your neck, your head somewhere. And if he can get you anywhere in here, them powerful jaws he has, his plan is to suffocate you or crush your skull, whatever he's got to do. He just uses those paws and those claws to get a hold of you so that his mouth can do the damage. And our enemy walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But the scripture says by the blow of Jesus, he done broke his jaw and crushed his teeth. That means he can't crush you. Amen. And that's David recognized that. that he's powerful. He could be able, but you've rendered him powerless. I'm going to retreat, not in defeat. I'm retreating you to meet. And I believe I'm coming back to the city. I believe I'm going to see that ark again, and I'm going to serve as king over this great city of Jerusalem once again. But I'm doing it because I don't want to damage and see many people die or see the city destroyed. That's why he retreated, not in his defeat. So we see all these, we see these, this great word, these great principles laid out for us in Psalm 3 and what David does and how these things work out. We know the end result of what took place. Absalom's going to be killed, and we know who kills him. David's nephew. David didn't want him to die. He asked him to be gentle with him, didn't he?
Yeah.
He understood that he was operating out of the root cause of what? David's own sin. Remember God told David?
Yeah.
Because of what David did, that sin was always going to be before him. That his own family were going to rise up against him. That they were going to kill one another. That the sword would never leave his house. David knew ultimately the consequences of what he sowed and his actions with Bathsheba and Uriah and those events was the consequence of what he was facing with his son Absalom. He showed him great compassion. He showed him great mercy. And he really didn't want him to have to die. And Joab stuck a spear through him. Psalm 3 is a psalm that's all about God protecting King David. Y'all remember, David did some things in his life in his past that really hindered him and was going to hinder him the rest of the days of his life. Scripture says that the sword was never going to leave David's home. That meant that David was going to have problems inside his own. How many of y'all have problems inside your own family? Anybody have problems inside your own family? Everybody. How many's got somebody in their family that's dysfunctional? How many of you are the one? Raise your hand. All right. We're getting personal, huh? We all have some kind of dysfunction of some kind because we live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world with fallen people, we do fallen things and think like fallen people sometimes. Well, because of David's actions, God told him that the sword would never leave his house. That meant that his children were going to be at war with one another. What are some of the things David's children did that caused him great grief and conflict within his spirit and within his home? Somebody help me. What are some of those things? One raped his sister. Amnon raped Tamar. And when he raped Tamar, Tamar had a brother. See, Tamar wasn't his full-blooded sister. Amnon and Tamar had the same daddy. His name was David, but they had different mamas. But Tamar had a brother that had the same mama as him, and his name was what? Absalom. What happens? What does Absalom do? He sets out because of what his brother did. He says, I'm going to kill Amnon. He waited a few years to do it, but he did it. He wound up killing his brother because of what he did to his sister. Well, David was so upset with him. David made him leave the city, wouldn't even talk with him, and he went away. Well, one of David's servants said, look, you need to reconcile with your son. You need to get things straight with your son. So he brought him back to Jerusalem, but David never went and seen him. So Absalom, he begins to create a plan. I'm going to overthrow my daddy. And I know David is everything to Jerusalem and he's everything to Judah, to Israel at the time. But he went out and he started winning the hearts of the people. And before you know it, the scripture says that all of the people, the important people, the major people in Israel begin to follow Absalom. And he won their hearts. And when he did, he then set out to revolt against his father. And he made a track toward Jerusalem. And he says, I'm going to kill David. And I'm going to take his throne. I'm going to punish him for what he's the way he's been treating me. And all that was a result of one thing. That David took the wife of another man. And not only did he take the wife of another man, but he had the man that he took the wife of, what did he do to him? He had it. Man, David was a messed up dude at times, wasn't he? I mean, he did a lot of things. But you know what the scriptures teach us about David? David was a man after God's own. And one thing David knew how to do, and he knew how to do well, he knew how to repent. Amen? And he had to repent on a consistent basis. But God kept using him, and God kept blessing him, and God kept showing him favor. You know what David says when Absalom was coming to take his city from him? David understood that Absalom was a wild man, and Absalom didn't show any restraint. And you know what he was going to do to Jerusalem if David stood and fought him? He was going to destroy Jerusalem, and he was going to kill a lot of people. So what did David do? David retreated. And he left. And he left the city. And the priest came out to him, Mr. Bud, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, which belonged in the temple that was there in Jerusalem. And what they did was, it was a tabernacle at the time. They said, we need to take what do we need to do with the Ark of the Covenant? Do we need to bring up with us? And David told them this. He said, no, bring the Ark of the Covenant back. For if God shows me favor, I'll be back in this city, leading this city again. And David left Jerusalem and he went out into the wilderness and he waited on the Lord and he found refuge in God. It looked like he was running from his son, but he wasn't running from him. He was just retreating because he understood his son didn't have the wisdom that was needed, and he would destroy a lot of people if David tried to fight him. But he also knew that God would protect him, and he rested in him. And Psalm 3 is all about that picture of what happens when people are against you and when your family turns against you. When people come up to fight with you, it's okay at times. You can retreat. You don't have to stand and fight against them. Sometimes you can run and retreat, but you can know that retreat is not a defeat when it's the Lord you're running out to meet. He ran to Jesus. God protected him. And as a result, what happened? Absalom gets killed. But the city wasn't destroyed. A lot of lives wasn't lost, and a victory comes out of that. So we can see, like in Psalm 1, just from this song, as the scriptures teach us, that we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that when we live according to the counsel of God, we can trust Him and what He's doing. Even when things get ugly, even when our family turns, even when friends turn, even when a community turns, when those on the job turn, we have a refuge that we can flee to and run to and find cover under the shadow of His wings. And God will protect us. And no matter how things turn out, remember, great deliverance belongs to the King and His anointed and His descendants forever. We have a great deliverer, folks. And we can trust Him. Amen. So all this, I mean, this is a lot covered in this time of Absalom's rebellion. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again because I really believe it helps me. And if it helps me, I believe in giving it away and talking about it quite a bit. But you've heard me say before, retreat is not always defeat. When it's the Lord Jesus, we are retreating to meet. David retreated from Absalom, but he wasn't defeated in that. I know the nature of most of us is to stand our ground, to have the last word in, to fight, to prove a point. But David left. He retreated. It looked like he was being defeated by his son. David understood that, one, Absalom didn't have the wisdom nor the understanding, and therefore he would show no mercy or compassion on innocent people or the city of Zion. He would destroy Jerusalem. He would destroy to fulfill his agenda. Whatever got in his way, he would try to destroy it to accomplish that, and David knew it. That it wasn't about just David. It was, but it was more than that. He was power hungry. He wanted to overthrow his father.
He was to that point. And when people are to that point in self-centered living, they're dangerous. And when a person is dangerous, they're dangerous to everybody around them. And we have to use discernment at times that, hey, I can fight this. I can make it an issue. And there's times that God does give us that liberty, or he leads us to take that stand at that time for a purpose. But there's times God leads us out. And when the priests come to David, and they standing there at the river before they cross, David says, take the ark back. Won't you go back, stay with the ark. If God shows me favor in this, I'll be back to the city. But I'm going up to the mountain. I'm retreating. But I'm not retreating in defeat. I'm doing this to preserve the city and to keep innocent lives from being damaged by Absalom. That is not a defeat. That's wise. That was a great move. And there's times we, as in our relationships with other people, with our spouse, with our children, on our job, sometimes we've got to retreat. And it may look like we're defeated in that. If we're not careful about what people think about us, you know, if we're too careful about what people think about us, and like we look like we have no backbone, and we're not taking a stand, and we're weak, and acting like a sissy, whatever you, however you want to describe it, we'll let pride dictate our next move, and we'll fight. And the problem with that is a lot of times other people are damaged by it. And are hurt, wounded, messed up by it. So sometimes we can retreat. And it's not defeat. What we see with David is that when he retreated, the scripture says that he went up on the mountain and worshiped God. He worshiped. He retreated to the Lord. He depended upon him. And that's what we see in Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is written around us. Look in Psalm 3 real quick before we go. Psalm 3 was written when David was fleeing the city. And he anticipated he was coming back. I believe in my own journey there were times that I probably should have took a stand for something. And some things are just not worth fighting over. Are you with me? They may be worth it to us because we take an issue personally, but it really isn't that big of a deal from a kingdom mindset. It's more, well, this is me and you or me and them, and I take this issue to heart, and they're attacking me personally, so I respond back personally. And you fight, and you think, afterwards you think, that was you. That was, all I did was mess up my character and mess up theirs, and it hurt other people. It didn't do anything for the kingdom. I should have just backed off. And then there were times maybe we backed away from something that we probably should have took a stand for. We missed this, no doubt, all of us at times. And that's why it's important to be sensitive to God's leading and spirit and just do what he tells you to do. But Psalm 3 says, Lord, how have they increased, multiplied, myriads of bodies and people who trouble me? Scripture says that Absalom won the hearts of the people. They turned themselves over to him. Many are they who rise up against me. The word many is saying abundantly, the abundance, the crowd is multiplying in abundance who have rised up against me. And they're all saying that there is no help for me. I don't have an answer for this. They not only have they rose up against me, they're looking at the multitude and they seeing how many people who are coming against me. And they see God is against me and I don't have any help in you. But verse 3, I like how the old King James read, but thou, O Lord, art shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and I slept, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me, and I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, and save, or the idea there is to restore me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessing is upon your people, Selah. He wrote that when he was fleeing his son in retreat. And I want to tell you, when I read something like that, I surely don't see defeat in that. I see a man living and walking away in victory. Because it's the Lord who he's retreating to meet. And God is blessing him. And no matter how you look at it, the enemies are the quote-unquote roaring lions that are on the attack. A lion can't crush your old skull. You know, that's how a lion, when he gets you, he's going to go for your head. Now, he's going to crush you. He can't crush your skull when he's got a broke jaw and his teeth been knocked out. Amen? He's simply saying you have rendered him powerless. He did it through the counsel of Hushai. He rendered Absalom, his enemy, powerless. He changed the counsel of that man who would have put him on him at the right time. God is able to do that. He's able to do that. He can change the mind and the heart and the advice of men. I'm talking about a job. He can change that situation out there. Can he?
What else? Tell us. Psalm 3. Yes. On the run from his son. Y'all remember the consequence, right? As a result, that's the neat thing about the way God works. The Scripture teaches us that he is a God who forgives, yet he takes vengeance upon our deeds. Recall when David did what he did with Bathsheba, had Uriah killed. God told him, David, if you wanted 10,000 women, you could have had every one of them if you wanted them, but you took somebody that didn't belong to you. What he told him, said it wasn't, I gave you all of Saul's women. That is, Saul was king. He had authority over the whole nation. I gave you everything. Was that not enough? You took that which didn't belong to you. She belonged to somebody else. You could have had others. There was plenty of others that you could have had. But you chose to take one that belonged to somebody else. And then you had him killed. And because of the bloodshed and because of your actions, the sword is not going to leave your home. There's going to be conflict among your own people, among your own children. The sword will not depart from your house. There's going to be problems from here on out. We know what happened. Amnon rapes Tamar, his sister, David's daughter, David's son, has a relationship. Absalom, Tamar's brother, by the same mother, kills Amnon for raping his sister. David and Absalom are torn. Eventually, he comes back to the city, but David says, I don't want to see him. He kind of want to see his face. Well, that grows and enrages Absalom, because Absalom was the type of charismatic fella that was able to win the whole country over, even from David. Obviously, he was. He was charismatic. Scripture says there's nobody that looked like him, stood like him. He just won the people over, and he did it intentionally. By telling the people, if you had somebody that can take care of business, can judge on your matter, judge rightly, things would be different. I'll do that for you. He played the role of the politician, didn't he? He did. He won the hearts of the men of Israel. And when he was ready and felt like the time was right to revolt, the message went forth. Was told to David, Absalom is coming to fight. He's coming to take over. He's coming to take your throne from you. What does David do? He runs, and he runs for the sake of the people, for the sake of the city. He retreated because he said, Absalom, if we stand and fight against him, if we stand against him here,
it's going to be a major bloodshed, and there's going to be a lot of innocent lives that are going to be lost. He's going to destroy the city. He'll destroy all that this that we have here. So the best thing that we can do at this time is we can retreat. And Absalom pursued him. David retreated with a group of people that followed after him. And I don't know if you recall this, but as we read about these things in the book of 2 Samuel, we find that when David then was crossing the river, that brook there, the priest came out with the Ark of the Covenant. And David told them to bring the Ark back. If God has favored me in this, not only will I see it, but I'll see this beloved city again. And David retreated. And that helps me, because there's times when we believe that we can stand up and fight against the thing, but sometimes God leads us to retreat. And when I retreat, it doesn't mean I've been defeated in retreating. God's just given me wisdom to retreat because of the consequences, if I stood and fought against this, the problems that it can create for other people. So sometimes retreat is not always defeat. And we've got to remember that, dealing with our spouses, dealing with our children, dealing with our neighbors, dealing with our country, dealing with people that just because I take my hands off and I get out of here and don't stand and fight and prove my point, doesn't mean I've been defeated. And I can rest in that. And that's what we see in Psalm 3. David recognized in Psalm 3 that it doesn't matter if 10,000 come against me. God is my shield and my protector. He is the lifter up of my head, because he could have been brought low. And that song we was just singing about, gloom, how he's able to deliver us from despairing gloom. The cross covers that. And that's what we see here. God was able to lift his head, and he understood, you see through the psalm, that God broke the jaw of the enemy and shattered his teeth. A lion, that picture of Absalom in rage coming against him to devour him, God rendered him powerless against David. And we find that David does go back to the city. Absalom is killed. And even though he's killed, David didn't want him to die. He pleaded with his men not to kill him when you see him, because they knew they would. And he knew he had some ruthless men that been under his service. He watched them kill lots of people. He begged them, don't kill my son. Don't kill Absalom. Don't kill him. And one of the men knew that the only thing that could be done is to kill him. And so he killed him. He stepped in where David in his love and his compassion and his desire for his son would sometimes overrule in his judgment. Somebody else stepped in and took care of that. David and then comes back to the city, and things are restored. The people fall back under his leadership, and God is glorified through it because he retreated. Had he stayed and fought, Jerusalem more than likely would have been destroyed, and there would have been a lot of people, women and men and children, that would have died as a result of somebody who didn't have the wisdom or the understanding to back off and not kill everybody, because he was on a vendetta. He was going to overthrow his daddy. That was his main objective, is to bring down what he would consider the pride and arrogance of David, who wouldn't have anything to do with me. Because I acted on behalf of my sister and our family, of his son, who misused her and abused her, my daddy should have rewarded me for my actions, not treat me the way that he treated me. He had a personal issue. And a lot of people have issues, and our kids can have issues against us, and some of the things they do are to destroy our name, to destroy our character. And that's what Absalom was attempting to do. He wanted to overthrow David's name and character. But he recognized that God was a shield around him. Amen? His protector and his guard. And he said, if I've done anything intentionally to harm or hurt, we see that over and over again, Lord, let them deal with me. Let them overthrow me. But for your name's sake, you know, for your glory and for your righteousness. So it's a great, y'all probably heard that song. I heard it this morning. Stephanie was playing for you women in Sunday school, that Brooklyn Tabernacle sings, "Thou, O Lord, are a shield from me, the glory and the lifter of my head," which is a good song, very good song, but it's straight Psalm 3 is what it is. It's the Word.